Blog Talk Radio.
This is Taino Sagrado, a.k.a. Sala Cody, straight out of Lenni Lenape territory here in New York City. This is Guasabara Taino Radio. I'd like to thank everyone for being here. Tagüe, Momatú, muchas gracias por estar aquí en este show de Guasabara Radio Taino. Guasabara means warrior. Yes. El canal de Taino Radio en el Guerrero. Hey, I'd like to give a shout out to everyone in Jamaica. Check it out, 82 degrees, clear skies. In Borinquen, Puerto Rico, 84 degrees, clear skies. Shout out to the Dominican Republic, Quisqueya, 76 degrees and cloudy. And also that great country of Haiti, Haiti. Many are one, is their motto. And it's 81 degrees, cloudy. And here we are in New York City in the high 60s. And it's pretty clear sky, nice and cool, no humidity. Remember to wear your masks if you're out there in public. Very important against the COVID-19. Bon matin, muchas gracias por todos. I'd like to give a special shout out to the following countries. United States of America. You guys tune in every single show. Thank you so much. The Netherlands. You're always in here. Thank you. Puerto Rico. Borinquen. Muchas gracias siempre para escuchar nuestra radio Taino Guasabara. Canada. The great country of Canada. Thank you. Thank you so much. The UK, United Kingdom, guess what? I see your stats every time, and you're in there. Thank you if you're listening from the UK. Oh, Nigeria, the great country in Africa. Nigeria, thank you for tuning in. Morocco, I hear you guys out there. Thank you for tuning in. Belgium. I see your stats. You're listening as well and downloading the shows, Belgium. Thank you. Dominican Republic. Oh, yeah. Quisqueya. Está escuchando los shows. Muchas gracias, okay? And also the great country of Colombia. Muchas gracias, Colombia, por escuchar también a Guasabara Taino Radio. And check it out. Colombia is one of those homelands of one of the branches of what makes the Taino from the great Arawak people, especially the Wayuu. Thank you so much. Okay, Guasabara Radio today, I want to talk about one of the freedom fighters, I like to call, during after 1492. As we know, there was a great invasion, and I say great, not because it was a great event, but because it was colossal. This was huge in the human history in the Caribbean, in which a foreign country from Spain came for the first time into the Caribbean Sea and caused chaos. Okay? So I'm not saying great in a positive way, but this was a great event. For many people in Europe, including Christopher Columbus, a lot of wealth was created because of this invasion, and a lot of brutal deaths and devastation for the other side. My ancestors, your ancestors, for many who are listening, Taino. So it's very, very important that we stay focused on these historical events. I dedicated 4 shows on the warriorship, what it is to be a Taino warrior. And in those shows, we talked about different aspects of what it is. How can we walk this earth? How do we walk the path of the warrior? Okay? And the bottom line is the foundation of any great warrior is compassion. So what happens to a compassionate person who represents the tribe, is a peacekeeper, is a cultural keeper, focuses on service, and focuses on spirituality? What happens when an invasion occurs? Okay? Now, there's many historical figures that the Spaniards wrote about. And thank God, and I say thank God, thank Atabe, that we have some of these documents that we can study to this day. And we can truly, truly channel those characters. So le doy gracias a Dios que ahora en la historia del Caribe, la historia de los taínos, los indígenas, tenemos información de gente que luchó por nuestra cultura. En la historia del Caribe, indígenas, cuando Europa vino en el Caribe, los conquistadores se llaman, pero para nosotros no eran conquistadores, ¿ok? Porque ellos no ganaron, nosotros ganamos. What I said was that, you know, in the history of the Caribbean, 1492, when the, according to history, they called conquistadors, they came to conquer. Well, guess what? We don't call them conquistadors. We call them invaders. To conclude the title of conquistadors to say they won, they did not win. We're still here. So I'm going to talk about a historical figure tonight from the Dominican Republic, or at the time called Haiti, and as contemporary time they call it Quisqueya. And his name, okay, hold on a second, he was considered in Bartolomé de las Casas, in his writings and in his History of the Indies, in book 3. He describes this cacique as a big man. He was bigger than most men at the time, okay? He's almost like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of the Taínos back in the day. You know, he was a well-built man. He was very strong, very athletic, and he was tall for his compared to his contemporaries. And they also consider him the bravest, okay, man. And he demanded, and his composure was full authority. He was a chief of chiefs, okay? And according to the Las Casas, he played a key role in the freedom of fighting for the freedom of the Taino, okay? And tomorrow I'm going to talk more about a woman that was also mentioned in the Taino writings, in the Spaniards writings of Bartolomé de las Casas. But I want to dedicate a show for her tomorrow. But I just want to add her. She's considered, Las Casas estimated that she was actually the queen of Higüey, okay, the eastern region of the island. And her name was Iguanama. And Iguanama, the reason I want to start talking about her tomorrow is because I try to get a person to be interviewed who's a female Taína. Talk about Iguanama, but I couldn't get her on tonight. So tonight I'm going to talk about a cacique. Like I mentioned before, he was a big man. He was the bravest. He showed authority, and most likely Iguanama was the person that mentored him, okay, or that led the rebellion. So this chief, his name is Gotubanama. Gotubanama. If you're taking notes, it's Gotubanama. Then you put an accent on that A, okay? Gotubanama, cacique. Now, this cacique was probably led mentorship from Iguamaná. So it's very important. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about her more. But he was well-respected, cacique, on English, chief, well-respected. He lived in a coastal settlement across from an island called Saona, okay? And this is what we presently call La Romana area. And there's a lot of extensive studies on that area, archaeological sites on the Taino culture, okay? That we call Boca de Yuma, okay? I have not personally been to these areas, but it's on my wish list to visit these areas, especially Saona Island. And why does Watu Manama stand out in history? Why am I picking on him as a freedom fighter? Well, after the late 1400s, as the Spaniards were growing in power, growing in influence, there was an unknown cacique in the island of Saona. He was unknown. You know who he was by name. But we know that he had a peaceful and lively trade agreement with the Spaniards. And what he did was he provided cassava or cassabi bread to the Spaniards. And that was a way of, again, as I mentioned in the Taino warrior training, diplomacy, very important, but the concept of diplomacy. So this is diplomacy in action. To avoid war, let me give the Spanish what they need, and in return, I'll get some peace. Something happened, okay? Something dreadful happened. And it happened around 1503, in which there was an attack on this cacique by a mastín dog. These are the war dogs that the Spanish use. And these dogs were very vicious. They were trained to just destroy the person. So according to the story from Bartolomé de la Casa, this unknown chief of Saona Island, His stomach was chewed, it was ripped apart, in which his intestines were exposed. And according to the story, the dog was chewing on these intestines, and the chief tried desperately to hold on to his organs so he could find help. But of course, he died. He was killed by this dog. And de la Casa, in his writings on book number 2, page 185 through 199, he talks about that this was no accident. This was definitely a planned attack by the Spaniards. Okay? So, it's just very, very devastating news, you know, that this peaceful chief who was very diplomatic was attacked. And why was he attacked? Why was this peaceful chief who provided food to the Spaniards? He did not get much into return in sense of trade, but most likely the goal is peace. So what did he get in return? Okay? And this is going to be the theory that Bartolomé de las Casas talks about, that most likely it was a setup trying to get the natives upset so they can revolt. And this gave the excuse, the Spanish, to enslave them. Okay? So in other words, and according to La Casa, you know, it was too peaceful. It was too tranquil. The peace agreement worked really well, and this caused a lot of issues for the invaders who wanted more power, wanted more destruction. So the news of his death caused tremendous uprest, if you can imagine. It was word that got out to Aguanama. Also, another chiefess, her name was Inés de Cayacoa. And, you know, eventually, this cacique, this great warrior, Watu Manama, was chosen as the chief that will lead the rebellion for revenge. Okay? And as news reached out, there was some fear from the Spanish, or more than fear, calculation. They knew what was going to happen, so they were ready for this. So what happened was, there were 8 Spaniards that were killed. I believe they were documented as sailors who landed in Saona and they were killed. So 8 of them were killed as part of the revenge led by this great cacique, Watu Banama. And as you can imagine, this led to a ripple effect in which the Spaniards, they received this news of the killings. So they there was a famous historical figure. He was named Nicolás Le Obando, and he ordered the Spanish capitanes, the captains of each of the 3 existing Spanish villages. So let's go. Let's get our arms ready and let's start recruiting. And let's go after them. Okay, so these troops, I believe there were 3 regiments, they all got together, and there were 300 members in these troops. And guess what? One of the leaders, one of the captains, was Juan Ponce de Leon, which became the invader of Borinquen. And at this point, Juan Ponce de Leon was gaining a reputation as an Indian hunter, Indian killer. So he was one of the capitans. And Juan de Esquivel, who was also the future invader of Jamaica, was the main person that was leading the troops. So we have a lot of historical figures now during this battle, this early battle. And Juan de Esquivel, he was considered a caballero, a knight. And according to De Las Casas, his military expedition was not so much to punish, but rather was a great opportunity to enslave the native population, okay, from Higüey. So this is why De Las Casas believes this was a setup, okay? So, as you can imagine, the Spanish are looking at what they call la guerra justa, the just war theory, that they can fight against the Spanish for the killings of those 8 sailors. So, forgetting the fact that this unknown cacique was mutilated by a dog, they forgot that part. So the Casas say, hey, this is the time to do it. So we have a great leader leading charge, gearing up to fight the Spaniards. And this is a tough time, a lot of unrest, a lot of confusion. And what happened was, because of the weapons that the Spanish possessed, and also the war tactics, the war dogs, the Taínos were defeated in Higüey. Okay? And according to the Las Casas, they used this medieval Spanish standards, techniques of hangings. They would take the women and the children, and they would just slay them, disembowel them, as he would describe them, they would be slaughtered like sheep. And the others that survived this massacre will be caught, and their hands and feet will be amputated, okay, after being taunted publicly. So whoever they caught, they just humiliated by, you know, mutilations and stuff, and also beheadings, okay? And it's all done publicly. So around 600 to 700 natives did escape to the Saona Island, and they hid in caves. But many of them were captured, and they were imprisoned. And they were taken to houses to be slaughtered. And their remains were displayed in the plaza, in the towns, in which people can see the bodies, the mutilated bodies. And this was all by the orders of the Spanish leader, Juan de Esquivel. So their whole thing was just destroy and enslave. So at the end, the caciques, they willing to surrender, and that was Cotubanama finally surrendered to Esquia, and they didn't want to fight anymore. They were outnumbered. due to the guns and so on. So here's the great Gatu Banama, Cacique, he agreed to demands of surrender, and they agreed to serve the Spaniards to maintain the peace. And this is when the Indian settlements were created. So, according to the De Las Casas, Esquivel, actually he took the initiative to create the Guatiao ceremony, the exchanging of names. So he gave Guatu Banama his name. So Guatu Banama became El Capitan, you know. And then Esquivel became Guatu Banama. So here we have the Guatu ceremony, the Guatu pacts, which was traditionally used by the Taino to slow down on wars, peace treaties, and so on. So this is the exact words of what De Las Casas wrote in Book 2, page 162. This exchange of names in the common language of this island was called Guatiao, meaning me and the other that exchanged names, and they so named each other. And this was held at a great parentesco fictive king relationship and as perpetual friendship and confederation. And so the Indians call the Spanish captain Guatu Banama and then Señor Cacique Esquivel. And this is Book 2 on page 162. So right now this Guatiao ceremony was our people held names as very, very sacred, okay? So this must have been like, wow, throwing salt at the wounds that this capitan, this invader, will invoke this ceremony. So basically the bottom line was it was an act of submission and surrender according to the Spanish. And the victorious one was the Spaniard, Esquivel. So it's very, very difficult, as you can imagine, our ancestors had to sustain. So tomorrow I'm going to go into detail about this Battle of Higüey, because De Las Casas goes into detail in his history of the Indies, complete history of the Indies, and what did Guatu Banama do, you know? Well, actually, let me just take a little pause. Guatu Banama, before the surrender, before the Guatiao, he was one warrior that led the rebellion, and he pretty much sacked and burned a lot of the fortresses in Santo Domingo in the area where the Spanish lived. And this battle, you know, was in 1504, and this led to constant wars between the Spanish and the natives. So it's a very sad moment that what happened in Quisqueya. And, you know, when you take a traditional ceremony like the Guatiao and it's used to suppress the people who created this beautiful ceremony, but also you're looking at Guatu Banama as a man, as a leader who had to go through a lot to maintain peace for his people, okay? And it was just, you know, I'm, you know, looking over the data, looking over the history, you know, it just makes me upset. You know, the first thing you want to do is, you know, you just want to, you know, go into battle and just, you know, if it means death, then there's death. But also you have to think of the women and children, you know, and that's tough. So the Higüey natives, according to Bartolomé de las Casas, really fought hard. They really fought hard. They did their best. And some of the rival caciques also sided with the Spanish, which was a really, divide and conquer technique the Spanish used. And the Spanish used that to take advantage, you know. And that's what gave them the military edge over traditional techniques and so on. So these caciques, there were many caciques that did side with the Spanish, you know, and they saw the arrivals of the Europeans as an opportunity to defend themselves against other rival caciques. So this is the true reality. Sometimes you think, you know, the Spanish are the good, are the bad guys, the Tainos are the good guys, but sometimes it's a lot of gray, in which a lot of caciques, you know, they just, you know, to protect their own power and so on. And you can imagine desperate times, desperate situations, calls for desperate actions. And unfortunately, you know, the ethical, moral code sometimes went out the window, and the traditions. This is why it's so important. A true warrior, you know, it's about cultural keeping. Keep the culture alive no matter what. So either by force or voluntarily, they join the invaders, struggle for power, you know. So tomorrow I'm going to go more in depth about what happened, more details of the rebellion after the Guatiao ceremony. And it's just a lot of details. But tomorrow I'm going to go into the, you know, the role of Guatumanamá and what he did. And also Iguanamá as one of the queens, as Bartolomé de la Casa has mentioned. Guatumanamá was most likely mentored by this cacica. And her name was Aguanama, and she was also found and killed. But we're going to go more into that tomorrow. We're trying to get a guest tomorrow to give her views of what it is, you know, at the time when you're a female cacique and you have to put your life on the line for the people. So a warrior, a true warrior, is going to look out for his people or her people. And sometimes, at the end of the day, self-defense is needed. But with that, when you're outnumbered, diplomacy, peacekeeping is also another weapon that somehow helped us survive through all these years, 500 years later. So there you have it. One of the freedom fighters, a great cacique, really tried his best, Panama. So tomorrow I'm going to add a little splice, a little more spice information about these wars that happened in Higüey and Iguanama, the cacique that Bartolomé de la Casa is referred to as the queen of all chiefs. So we're going to go more into depth about that in depth. So with that, I'd like to end the program with the Atabe song written by Edwin Cedeño. So Atabe is our creatress, giving birth to creation, giving birth to universe. And we call her Atabe, our mother. I'm having some technical difficulties here once again in my studio. I really need an intern to work the DJ equipment. But that bass song, I played this in another show. It's a very powerful song. So what's happening is I can't get it going. So I'll just get my rattle. Let's try it one more time.
Atabera guagua bibi guagua bibi. Atabera guagua bibi guagua baba. Atabera guagua bibi guagua kiana guti. Atabera guagua suimako. Atabera guagua suimako.
Thank you.
Thank you.